This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are rolling right through this. We're going to get to Cheryl Atkinson's thing here. One more word on this. Cheryl Atkinson, of course, investigative journalist. And we have all kinds of stuff we're going to get to this hour, by the way. Communists using your values against you and many other things like that. But I know the GOP screwed us over again today. They didn't put any restrictions on FISA. I told you this was coming already. You already knew this was coming. I hope you didn't get your hopes up. The GOP is always going to sell you out in the end. And, well, Cheryl said this.
What else should we do?
Well, I think it's a global problem that has to do with sending a message of oversight to the intelligence agencies that we know have for decades violated rights and made policies that are contrary to Constitution and so on. I don't think there has been an effort they think is serious. I feel like the intelligence agencies feel like they're running the committees here rather than the committees conducting oversight.
So what do we do? Jesse, what do we do? What do we do? Listen, you can't do anything about the FBI. And now that primary season is all but over, I realize there are some primaries still out there, but now that primary season is all but over, you probably can't do anything about your loser congressman. Now, next primary season, if your loser congressman voted today to continue this ridiculous FISA crap, then you should get involved in a primary and make sure that guy gets bounced. But setting that aside, what do we do? What do we do? Well, this is why we talk about legal and local. Legal and local. Legal and local. Well, Jesse, how does that reform the FBI? Well, listen, your state is going to have to stand against the FBI. You realize that? Your state government, not you and your vigilante buddies. No. That's just a path to ruin. You stay legal at all times. Your state AG, your state police agency, almost every single state has one. Here in Texas, it's the Rangers, which is actually really cool. But your state police agency is going to have to begin doing things like, okay, we're not working with the FBI anymore. No more joint task force. Because every time the FBI rolls into your town to murder somebody, it's a joint task force. A joint task force with the county sheriff. Joint task force with the NYPD. They're going to have to stop doing that. And that will happen slowly. And then the next step will be the FBI is going to start getting banished from certain states in red states. As the anti-communists get more involved locally, get better candidates in office, the FBI needs to start getting run out of states. That is our future if you want freedom, to believe it's going to be reformed from within Washington, D.C. is insanity. None of these people have the guts to do it, and maybe the ones who even do have the guts to do it, I don't know whether they're all compromised or what exactly happens, but nobody wants to drain the checka right now. You could argue that Donald Trump is the most politically persecuted man in the history of the United States of America. You could easily argue that, and it was the FBI front and center involved in that political persecution of Donald Trump. And as of, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was talking about building them a brand new headquarters. No one is going to drain the FBI. Your local and state governments are the only chance we have. All right? Dear Dick Cheney of Paintball, on Monday you stated to never let the communists use our values against us. What is the best defense against this? How do we counter it with bigger topics like abortion, immigration, so on and so forth? All right. So this may be a bad way to answer it, but this is the answer I have, and I really, really generally mean it. There are different kinds of people. God made us all different, and that's a good thing, right? You're not supposed to be like me. I'm not supposed to be like you. But there are people out there who tend to be more people pleaser types. And then there are people who don't worry as much about the opinions of others. I will tell you, it is hilarious how it works in my house. My wife is so nice and so polite and concerned with what people think that she will kill herself to ensure that your birthday is remembered, that you just got to the neighborhood, that she has baked a fresh batch of cookies for you because you just got to the neighborhood and that's what good people do. And if I don't do it, they'll think that I'm rude. And like, that is her. I totally opposite. I guess I don't have to tell you how I am. You know exactly how I am. It's just not how I am. I don't think about it. I don't care about it. I'm not saying I'm any better than her, and I'm not saying she's better than me. But I am saying this. When it comes to dealing with communists, I would always have and will always have an easier time dealing with them than she will. Why? Because their tactics are all centered around people like her, around getting people like her to either question themselves or in the very least shut up or feel like they're a bad person if they don't go along with it. How might that conversation go? You know what? Let's do the tranny stuff. That's a great example of this, the tranny stuff. And this has not happened to us, but if we were sitting with some dirtball commie activist, let's say we're going out to dinner tonight and we end up sitting around having a beer with some dirtball commie activist, just me, her, and this commie activist. And this commie activist started ranting and raving about, why shouldn't we transition kids? But we should show these kids pornography, and these boys want to cut their penises off. That's fine. Me? Nope. You're a demon. Go screw yourself. Her? She would probably say the same thing. No, absolutely not. That's despicable. No way. And then so a common tactic the communists uses, they use this all the time on Republicans, and it works like a charm. They take their horrific demonic position and they'll water it down just a little bit. And then it looks like they're being compromising. And you should be compromising and meet them halfway. So it started out that conversation with, yes, cut your son's penis off. He's a woman. And then the pushback came. So then the communist goes, okay, well, at least once they're 16 and they're old enough and the parents and the psychiatrist sign off on it, then they should be able to, right? Now, that's still not going to work for me. And it probably won't work for the wife. But I bet you she's closer than she was before to just going along with it. I'm right, aren't I, Chris? That's how it works. And then what if that doesn't work? Okay, well, one more. All right, not 16-year-olds, but let's at least agree. If you're a man and you're 18, let's at least agree then that you can cut your penis off and then you'll be a woman, right? For me, no, go screw yourself. I'm not meeting yourself in that world. For her, well, she's already said no twice. And look at how much she's backing down. I mean, yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, and I'm putting words in her mouth. I don't want to act like I'm having this conversation for her, but you understand what I'm saying. The people pleaser, the nice person is going to have a more difficult time stopping the communist from using their values against you. They just are. I'm not nice. That's why I'm able to deal with communists. But you don't want to be like me, but you're going to have to kind of shave some of that niceness off when you deal with these people. Remember, I told you about that conversation I had with that commie nut job gun grabbing loser from Canada that I ran into at that party the other night. Now, why? I didn't say anything to him, remember. He sat down and started coming at me. He found out who I was and just started coming at me. I was going to leave him alone. And I completely and utterly destroyed him. Just destroyed him. To the point, I mean, I had that guy buying guns by the time I was done. Why? It was all about Second Amendment stuff. Why? Well, I never let him change the subject. I never let him get a rise out of me. Oh, okay, that's what a Nazi would think. They say that trying to get a rise out of you. What? I'm not a Nazi. You're changing the subject. He's already went up. Never got a rise out of me. He never got to change the subject. And I had the confidence the entire time I was right. I wanted to win, not appear nice. I wanted to win, not appear nice. We must develop a mentality that has eluded us on the right. We have lost for so long, culturally, only left, only left, only left, only left, only left, that we have a loser's mentality on the right now. We've talked about this a bunch before. We think we're going to lose. We just assume we're going to lose. I'll just lose a little less this time than I did last time, maybe, hopefully. We have to develop an anti-communist, aggressive, winner's mentality. Again, the demons are bold. The good people are afraid. We must flip that around. It's time for the demons to be afraid. We must be bold. If you need help with that, maybe what you need is a good night's sleep, courtesy of MyPillow. Did you know that they're having a $25 extravaganza sale? Did you know that? So I want you to wrap your mind around this. The premium MyPillows that have the all-new Giza fabric on it, you know the Giza fabric. That's what they make the Giza Dream Sheets with. It's just the greatest thing in the world. Those premium MyPillows with the Giza fabric, they're awesome, but they usually cost a pretty penny. You know that they're part of the $25 sale? Any size, any loft level, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Two packs of multi-use MyPillows, $25. Go take advantage of the $25 extravaganza sale. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use the promo code Jesse or call 800-845-0544.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I realize we're not done yet on the FISA thing. You need to prepare yourself for the fact that we probably will be. But if I can encourage you with one last thing before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, that vote today, the vote to kill the ugliest parts of FISA, it was close. It was very, very close. It was 212 to 212. If it wasn't for that loser Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, breaking the tie, we almost won that vote today. We are not getting the change we want, the change we need fast enough. That is true. But change is happening. Slowly but surely, it's happening. Let's get to some other things. Jesse, fashionista, he says. That's what he calls me. What's your take on nose rings? I can't stand them. I immediately judge women who wear them negatively. I don't even like the ones in one nostril. The bull nose sends me through the roof. I feel like I'm becoming an old fuddy-duddy and I'm only 40. Your thoughts? His name is Sam. Okay, so I'm sure there's a whole Sigmund Freud psychology thing here that I'm basically going to echo. I'm probably just ripping off someone else's work that I've read about or heard about before, but I have this theory about dudes, and it probably applies to women as well, that at a certain age, and I don't know what that age is, that there's going to be a woman or group of women who maybe catch your eye, a certain type of women. For a dude, let's just call a dude, you know what? We'll call him 12. And you know why we'll call him 12? Here, I'll tell you a little story. Let's pause on this. I'll come back to the nose ring thing. So my youngest son, his name is Luke. It's just you and me, Sharon, talking here. And Luke he's my little clone. Like, we have so much fun. Remember that stupid torpedo talk with the jet skis we were talking about last night on the air? I went home and I told my oldest James and I told Ob about it. My wife and James, I told them about it and they were all, that's so dumb. That's ridiculous. So I went marching upstairs and I told Luke. He spent the next hour planning it with me. And he's like, we need a hotel on the bottom with the glass ceiling. Like, that's Luke. That's my Luke. He's my buddy. He just murders me. And he's getting older. He's 13 now. But he was 12 when we were in Israel. Remember, we went to Israel last July. He was 12. And, you know, he'd been a little boy before then and not really much interest in girls. Girls were gross. You know, girls have cooties. Girls have, in fact, he's part of this stupid group of friends of his at school called the Sigma Squad. And one of the main rules for entry is you can't be nice to a woman. And if you are nice to any woman, they'll kick you out. I mean, that's the kind of meatheads, right? They're little meatheads, right? No girls. Girls are stupid. Girls are ugly. And we go over to Israel. And this one night, it was my birthday night. I had my birthday over there. And so me, Ob, the boys, my parents, my in-laws, my sister, we all went out to eat at this restaurant where they were cooking steaks for us outside. It was just yummy little bites to eat, just steaks. And there was this waitress. And she was an attractive young woman. I didn't remember her, but we went back after he said what he said, which I'll get to in a minute, and we watched a video because we had a video of that night of they did a birthday cake and all that, and so she was there presenting the birthday cake. And my wife and I were wondering, why did she stand out to him? So we went back and looked, and we thought, oh, okay, so she was an attractive young woman. But we had this waitress there, this brunette girl, and a pretty girl, blue eyes, just brunette, very pretty girl. I didn't notice. I'm sure I noticed at the time. I'm not blind. I'm not gay. I'm sure I noticed. But apparently she made quite the impression on my youngest. Now, he'd never said anything complimentary about a woman ever in his life. This was months later. This was 6 months after we got back. And he said randomly in conversation, oh, man, she was so hot. Right in front of my wife and I, we were floored. He'd never said anything like that about a woman ever. And you could tell by the way he had said it very clearly, she made an impression on this young man. While I was over there eating steak and onion rings, he was growing up that night. He was growing up and finding out, maybe these girls aren't all that bad. I mean, you know, he hit that moment. Anyway, I have this theory, and like I said, I'm sure it's an old theory that many people have parroted before. Whoever the first one is that catches your eye, for you, that's going to be your thing. And so, look, whatever that may be, if you're a woman, maybe you like bald dudes. Hey, I'm right here, ladies. No, I'm kidding. Maybe you like short dudes, fat dudes, big muscle guys. Maybe you like them skinny. Maybe you like biker types. Maybe that was your first crush. Maybe it was a TV show or something along those lines for a dude. Maybe you're into black women, white women, Asians, tall, short. Maybe you like them chunky because you're in the army. Maybe you like them super skinny. Maybe you like a super fit girl, whatever the case may be. Maybe you like them all tatted up. Maybe, just maybe, that was one of your first things. Like I said, movie star, a model, something somewhere. Nose rings. I don't mind them. The bowl one that you're describing in the end, that's a little much for me. But one of my first girlfriends had one of the nostril ones in there when I was a little kid. And I thought, I dig it. I don't know why I dig it. Is that wrong? Chris, is that wrong? Michael, am I wrong there? It's not weird, Chris. You're weird. See, Chris would be more traditional and nerdy. Michael would be more adventurous. See, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Anyway, we're moving on before we get in trouble. Let's talk about the Chinese invading. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's not all bad news out there. Put a smile on your face. Here's a headline for you. Many FBI agents are struggling to make ends meet. Housing costs are to blame. That's awesome. Actually, I'm honestly, quit. Go get a real job that doesn't involve destroying the civil liberties of the American people. Hi, Jesse. Did you study a foreign language in school? Obviously.
Buenas tardes.
In the 1980s, we had a choice of French or Spanish. Lately, I'm hearing some more affluent suburban schools offering other languages, including Mandarin Chinese. Ideas to give youngsters an advantage in international business circles after college. To me, it feels more like a step towards acquiescence. Chris, that's a huge word. I'm going to use that word. I'm going to use it another time during the show tonight. Acquiescence. I'm going to figure out a way to put that in. Anyway, and bowing to a culture that wants to subvert us and replace the U.S. as a world power. Do you think studying Chinese gives Americans an advantage, or is it just another sign of submissiveness? Her name is Linda. We were required in high school to take 2 years of either Spanish or French or German. I decided to go the Spanish route because I thought that would be the easier route, and I had other things I was focused on in high school. I had also recently discovered girls and was going that route instead of the school route. So I chose Spanish. I know, well, you're going to find this a little bit shocking, so just take a second here. You may find this a little difficult to believe, but I didn't get the best grades in Spanish in high school. I know you hear how fluent I am now with the uno and the dos and the tres and whatnot, and you think, wow, I must have grown up in Mexico City. No, I actually, look, I'm a success story. I used to struggle. Now I'm lingual in a byway. Wait, no, never mind. Anyway, I'm a linguist. Anyway, so yeah, with Spanish. As far as learning Chinese, look, we should be learning Mandarin. We should be. We should be learning Mandarin. We should be learning everything we can learn. Studying your enemy, learning the ways of your enemy, is one of the most critical parts of combat. And it is something that nation after nation, warring tribe after warring tribe, that they have done many, many times throughout history. You don't even want to know how many of, let's say, the Japanese generals and admirals we took on in World War II. You don't want to know how many of them were educated in American university systems. They sent them over here, yes, to acquire an education, but to learn about us. To learn about the enemy. This, again, it's a mentality. We cannot isolate ourselves and defeat them. Learn their language. Learn their customs. They're busy learning ours, figuring out what we will do, what we won't do. For instance, that's really all foreign policy. What move should you make? If you make this move, what move will they make? It's just, you know, combat works the same way. We should attack here, but if we attack here, what will they do in response to that attack here? There's a lot of talk right now about Iran and Israel. We're sending a bunch of reinforcements over there right now. Why? Iran is beginning some significant saber rattling about launching a legit missile strike against Israel. Hey, what if we launch a missile strike? Well, let me set this up for you. And this is just going to go back to what we were talking about. You have to know your enemy. Iran, right now, they're losing face. What Iran wants to be is they want to be the head of the Muslim world. Historically, that is something that's been very common for hundreds of years. One nation kind of takes over, and they've been the big cheese in the Muslim world. That was the Ottoman Empire forever. That was the essence of their empire. They gathered all the Muslims under their umbrella, and they were the protectors of Islam. They were the Muslim world. That's how Iran really kind of sees themselves. and that's what they want to be. And a lot of the men in power there, they have that power because that's how a lot of the Muslim world sees them. Hey, Iran, they're the nation state who's on our side. They're more powerful. That's a good thing. But Iran has to maintain that image for the Muslim world. Hey, you are the big bad protector of Islam, right? And we're talking about, you know, the radical jihadis and whatnot. It's not all Muslims. I'm just talking about the Muslim world over there in the Middle East. So don't go yelling at your Muslim buddy. He probably doesn't feel that way. Anyway, well, Iran's in, they're in a situation here. The Israelis are busy kicking the crap out of Hamas in Palestine. It's not even close to a fair fight. It's not a close fight. Yeah, there are Israelis dying, just as I warned you there would be in rubble like that. But they are just clearing these people out. So Hezbollah, who has a big boy army with big boy equipment, they are right on Israel's northern border. They're doing what they've always done, launching rockets and whatnot in there, but no ground troops, no ground invasion. That's done in large part because we are sitting off the coast saying, don't you dare, or we'll shove a cruise missile where the sun don't shine. Now, that is creating a situation over there for Iran. Iran, in order to save face with their radical Islamic supporters, Iran has to do something right now to Israel. Oh, they're the great Satan. We're going to push them into the sea. And then you have a couple terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah getting slapped around by the Jews. It makes the Muslim leaders look weak in front of their Muslim base. It just does. They need to do something. So Iran has been gearing up. Hey, we're going to launch some missiles your way. Well, now Iran has to deal with this. This is their foreign policy question. If we do what we feel like we have to do and launch these long-range missiles at Israel, Israel is going to respond. They're going to attack our oil and gas. Israel has the ability to destroy significant parts of Iran's infrastructure. If that war ever got really, really hot, Israel has the technology, the willingness, and everything else to cripple Iran. It's not that Iran can't hurt Israel too, but Israel, if they think this thing's going hot, if you're Iran and you start lobbing missiles over to Israel, Israel is going to turn that thing up a notch, Jack. So what can Iran do? Well, Iran has to figure out a way they can attack Israel and save face without attacking Israel so much to the point they feel like Israel will attack them back in a way that is significant. Now you see how complicated that is. So how might that shake out? I don't know. There's all kind. Everyone's guessing right now. There's rumors they're going to lob some missiles at some kind of Israeli positions in northern Iraq, so it's not a bunch of Israeli civilians. Hey, look, we killed a couple Jewish dogs. Isn't that what they call you people? Jewish dogs? I don't know why everyone's a dog, but we killed some of the Jewish dogs. Yay! That's, you kind of want to try to save face without taking it too far because you understand there's going to be a response. And you understand how you do a thing matters. And you understand, more importantly, for the purposes of the email, you understand your enemy. Iran has spies educated in Israeli schools. Israel has spies educated in Iranian schools. This is a massive program by each of their foreign intelligence agencies. It's nothing new. It's not news. This is something that happens. Why? Well, if I'm Iranian, I need to learn how the Israelis think. I need to learn their tactics. I need to learn their language. And if I'm an Israeli, I need to learn that about the Iranians. Learning your enemy is critically important. Yes. In fact, learn Mandarin. Learn their customs. Learn it all. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about torpedoes. The next generation. World War I. Gosh, there's so much more good stuff. Let's talk about, well, maybe you were born during World War I. If you were, you are really old by now, really old. And when you're that old, there's a lot of aches and pains that come with that. Because I'm 42 and I'm starting to see the aches and pains creep in. Do you have those aches and pains? Are you 40 or 140? You know, Relief Factor is a natural way you can take care of the pain in your life without destroying your kidneys. Put away the pill bottles, even the ibuprofen. Even ibuprofen is not good to take on a regular basis. Start natural. Find natural solutions. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. It's drug-free, all natural stuff. 3 weeks. You don't have to take my word for it or theirs. Take it for 3 weeks. They have a three-week quick start kit for $19.95. If it works, call and order more. If not, don't. Don't. No pressure. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. If you missed any part of the show, just download a podcast of it. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. So I saw this lovely young lady on CNN discussing O.J. Simpson and discussing O.J. Simpson's death. And I just want to point out something. When you hear this person, you're going to think, wow, who is this wingnut demon? Who's this evil little communist? You should understand that this is a very, very powerful human being. Part of the Biden administration. Part of the Obama administration. A Harvard fellow. Here's what she had to say.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how Black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You right. know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the Black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how Black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that...
What did she just say? Well, you know what she just said. You heard her, right? Hey, we really related to him because he killed two white people. Am I right? And they had that coming, huh? Understand this. The racial component of American communism, of American cultural Marxism. It is bad. It is really ugly. No matter if you're Black, white, Mexican, I don't care what you are, you should not participate in it. And you need to understand it has created a lot of new murderers. It has. And people okay with murder. There's something about racial division and racial strife that brings murder and brings mass murder. It's all throughout history. These people are less than us. Screw them. Kill them all. These people have oppressed us. Screw them. Kill them all. It is endless throughout history. It's creating an ugly situation with some people in this country, for sure. For sure. Think how many younger people, have grown up having poison like that poured into them. And you wonder why we have so many animals in this society. Doctor of Destruction, Jesse, always talking about the swimming pool torpedo thing. Divide a swimming pool in half, an inflatable raft at each end, and armed with high-speed torpedoes with pointed dart tips. Sink the enemy raft to win. Don't dangle legs over the side. Add drones that fly around dropping torpedo darts, and you've got an Olympic sport. The torpedo darts thing is not going to work. I don't mind the poison dart torpedoes sinking the raft, because then you can even try to keep your raft afloat while you're trying to sink his, I like that aspect of it. I will tell you something that Luke came up with that I kind of touched on a little bit earlier. In case you're just now joining us, last night I had this award-winning idea. It's going to be worth billions and billions of dollars to start a torpedo fights thing on jet skis, where you shoot torpedoes at each other on this big lake, and when the torpedo hits, you launch someone off the back. Okay, so it's that kind of torpedo thing. All right, but Luke's idea was a brilliant one, if I may say so myself. He wants seating, maybe first class seating, on the bottom of the lake. It doesn't need to be deep. 10, 15 feet crystal clear. Obviously, there'll be bleachers on the side. We want, you know, people like Chris don't want to spend a fortune. He can go up there. But people who do, who want a higher class experience, we have these little glass pods at the bottom of the lake, and you can get the underwater experience. And we have special night games, too, where everything's lit up. What, Chris? What? Wouldn't the explosion push in on the grass? No, buddy, that's not how underwater explosions work. Underwater explosions work in that, well, all explosions, the explosive force finds the path of least resistance. Water pressure gets heavier, gets greater as you go down. Therefore, you could have an explosion of a fair amount of significance close to being right above you, and you could probably be okay from the explosion itself because all the concussion, all the concussive blast, all that stuff goes up. Submariners, you've heard me talk about this before. Submariners will tell you, if you ever read one, you know, depth charges. Everyone knows what depth charges are. The ship goes overhead. He drops in these big depth charges. They go down to a certain depth, whatever you set it at, and they blow up. Well, it may be very, very nerve-wracking and very, very scary to hear when you hear a submariner talk about depth charges blowing up above them. It's very nerve-wracking, it's very scary, but it's not deadly. It'll maybe shake you around a little bit, but it's not deadly. Deadly was if a depth charge went off either right beside you or underneath you. If it was underneath you, you're all dead. You're all gone. What, Michael? I'm sorry? Okay, so Michael brings up a good point. I had thought about aerial seating as well. Here's what I came up with today, but I don't like what I came up with because I want people, you would want to look down on this thing. It would look cool from up above. Build these pillars that come out of the lake floor all the way up, and then you have, you know, some space pod, like a space needle, maybe with a glass bottom, so you could sit up there, eat, have a beer and some nachos and watch the game. My problem with that is, if you put a pillar on the bottom of the lake, this is for recreation. People are going to be paying big money to be on our jet skis with torpedoes at a high rate of speed. You're going to end up killing people because they're going to run their jet skis into the pool that's coming up off the bottom of the lake. It's a safety hazard. I'm worried about insurance prices here. What, Chris? No, Chris, I'm not worried about the safety of the customers, meathead. I can build a concrete pillar that won't fall over. I'm worried about the safety of the jet ski guy who goes 60 miles an hour into the concrete pillar in the middle of the lake. That's what I'm worried about, moron. I'm worried about the jet skiers. Gosh, Chris. Anyway, we'll work out the details on that. We have a lot to get to next hour. We have to talk about very important things. Someone wants to talk about Trump. Someone wants to talk about World War I. Someone wants to talk about the next generation. Someone took his dad to Red Lobster for his 82nd birthday. Local government. Someone needs to get involved in so much more. But first, let's talk about Rough Greens, baby. Let's talk about the greatest thing ever. Because dogs really are the best. There is nobody who loves you like a dog. I feel bad that every dog I've ever known, every dog I've ever had, who has died at the end, you know, has died probably too early. Our dogs die too early because we don't give our dogs nutrition. And we don't know it. That's what sucks. We don't know it. We give them dog food and we think, well, this is the shrimp blend. He loves that. It's dead. The dog food is dead. It's empty calories. They cooked everything out of it at the factory so it would last forever on the shelf. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. Your dog will live longer. You'll see a difference in the coat on your dog. His breath, his joints, his energy. Whether he's young or old, Rough Greens, man. Free jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.